This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Recognizing secondary emotions hidden behind anger. What anger is usually covering, and how to see through it. In short, anger is almost never the whole story. Behind most angry reactions sits a quieter, more vulnerable emotion: fear, shame, grief, or humiliation. Self-awareness is the skill that lets you look past the surface and name what is actually happening inside you before the damage is done. Definition: secondary emotions. Anger describes the phenomenon where anger acts as a cover for deeper, more vulnerable feelings. Self-awareness is the capacity to look beneath its surface reaction, accurately identify the primary emotion underneath, and respond to what is actually happening rather than what first appears. Why anger so rarely tells the full story. I watched a senior manager walk out of a meeting once, slammed the folder on the table, barely said a word, and left six people sitting in silence. Everyone in that room assumed he was furious about the budget decision. He was not. He was terrified that his project, the one he had spent 18 months building, was about to be cancelled without a fair hearing. The anger was real, but it was not the root. This is the nature of secondary emotions. Anger is fast, loud, and socially powerful. Fear, shame, and grief are slow, quiet, and exposing. So when the brain faces a threat, it often reaches for anger first, even when the actual feeling underneath is something far more fragile. Understanding how an amygdala hijack escalates workplace tension helps explain the speed of this response. The emotional brain fires before the thinking brain can weigh in. Self-awareness is what slows the process down. It is the capacity to catch yourself mid-reaction and ask a harder question: what am I actually feeling right now? What to watch for in the scenarios below. Before you read these examples, let me tell you what to look for. In each scenario, notice the gap between the visible emotion and the underlying one. Notice where self-awareness enters and where it is absent. Ask yourself whether you recognize the pattern, not in the person in the story, but in yourself. That recognition is where the real work begins. Five scenarios that show what anger is usually covering. Example 1. A project manager under pressure. A project manager at a mid-sized firm received corrective feedback from her director in front of two colleagues. The feedback was not harsh. It was specific and fair. She responded calmly in the room, but by the afternoon she had sent a pointed email to her team, criticizing their work in terms that were sharper than anything she had said before. Her team was confused. Her director never saw the connection. What had happened was that she had felt humiliated in that meeting. Not because the feedback was cruel, but because being corrected in front of peers touched something old and tender in her. She was not angry at her team. She was ashamed, and the shame converted itself into blame before she had a moment to examine it. When she finally sat with what had happened, she recognized the pattern. It was not new. Shame had always moved through her as anger toward others. That recognition alone shifted something. She apologized to her team. She went back to her director and asked for feedback in private going forward. Self-awareness did not prevent the initial reaction. It cut the tail of it short. Example 2. A team lead who could not hear no. A team lead in a logistics company had a proposal rejected by senior management for the second time in a year. In the debrief meeting, he challenged every point the panel raised, his voice rising steadily. Colleagues described it later as a blow-up. He described it as standing his ground. Here is the truth of it: underneath the challenge was grief. He had poured 8 months into that proposal. The rejection did not just kill a project. It felt like a verdict on his judgment, his value, his place in the organization. He could not say any of that. So he argued instead. There was no self-awareness in that room. He left the meeting having burned trust with two senior leaders, without ever naming the thing that was actually driving him. 6 months later, in a quieter moment, he told a peer, "I think I was gutted and didn't know how to show it." That is secondary emotion recognized too late. The cost had already been paid. If you want to understand what happens when unexamined emotion drives conflict, the relationship between unmet needs and team conflict is worth your time. Example 3. A new hire at her first review. A new hire 6 months into her first professional role received a mixed performance review. Her manager was measured and supportive. The review was not negative. The hire sat through it quietly, thanked her manager, and left. An hour later, she was in tears in the bathroom, telling a colleague that her manager clearly hated her. She was not angry outwardly. The anger was turned inward, presenting as catastrophizing and self-blame. But underneath it was fear that she did not belong, that she had been a mistake, that the door was closing before she had even learned how to walk through it properly. This example matters because secondary emotions do not always look like aggression. They can arrive as withdrawal, as excessive self-criticism, as the kind of distorted thinking that turns a fair review into a dismissal notice. Her manager noticed something was off. He checked in the following week, asked how she was processing the feedback, and gave her space to name what she was actually carrying. With that opening, she was able to say, "I think I'm scared I'm not good enough." That was the real conversation, and it changed things. The core framework for staying grounded during tense conversations offers tools for exactly these moments when an emotional reaction has moved faster than your thinking. Example 4. A senior developer in a code review. A senior developer with 15 years of experience reacted badly in a code review. A junior colleague flagged a pattern in his work that, while not wrong, could be made more efficient. The senior developer did not shout. He went quiet, offered one-word answers for the rest of the session, and spent the next week avoiding the junior entirely. His team lead eventually pulled him aside. The conversation was awkward. He insisted he was fine. He was not fine. What he was carrying was humiliation. He had been the strongest technical voice on that team for a decade. Being corrected by someone with 2 years of experience, in front of others, had scraped at something he did not know was still raw, the fear that the field was moving past him, that his edge was dulling, that he was becoming ordinary. He never named it. The junior developer, who had meant nothing personal by the observation, spent weeks wondering what she had done wrong. Two people carrying unspoken weight, circling each other because one man could not look clearly at his own internal state. This is the cost of absent self-awareness. It does not stay inside you. It radiates outward and lands on people who had nothing to do with causing it. The damage to team cohesion from this kind of unexamined reaction is explored further in signs that amygdala hijack is destroying team synergy. Example 5. A manager who caught it in time. A manager in a healthcare organization was in a one-on-one when her direct report raised a concern she had not anticipated. The report suggested, carefully but clearly, that the manager's recent communication style had been creating anxiety on the team. The manager felt a sharp spike of heat rise through her chest. Her first instinct was to defend herself, to explain the pressures she had been under, to point out how hard she had been working. She did not do any of that. She paused. She noticed the heat. She asked herself, silently, what was under it. And she found it vulnerability. She had been stretched thin for 2 months, and the idea that people were anxious because of her, not despite her best efforts, but because of them, felt like failure. She said out loud, "That lands hard. Give me a moment." Then she asked her report to tell her more. That pause, that willingness to sit with the discomfort rather than discharge it through defensiveness, changed the entire conversation. She left the meeting with information she needed, a direct report who felt respected, and a clearer picture of herself. This is what self-awareness looks like in real time. Not the absence of reaction, the presence of recognition. For building the habit of staying calm when feedback triggers a defensive response, the core framework for managing feedback reactions gives you a concrete method to work with. The patterns that run across these examples. Look at those five scenarios together and something becomes clear. The emotion that appears first is almost never the one that matters most. In every case, the visible reaction, whether anger, withdrawal, or defensiveness, was protecting something more fragile underneath. The second pattern is this: when self-awareness was absent, the cost moved outward. It did not stay contained to the person experiencing it. Teams absorbed it, junior colleagues absorbed it, relationships frayed without either party understanding why. The third pattern is the speed of repair when self-awareness was present. In example 5, the manager's pause took 10 seconds. The conversation that followed took 20 minutes. The alternative, a defensive response, could have damaged trust that would have taken months to rebuild. Small daily habits of self-reflection compound over time into this kind of in-the-moment clarity, as explored in How Compound Communication Habits Prevent Chronic Tension. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last, and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What these patterns mean for your own reactions. Here is the question worth sitting with when you feel anger. What is your habit? Do you express it, suppress it, or look underneath it? Most people do one of the first two. Looking underneath is the harder move. It asks you to hold the heat for a moment and treat it as a signal rather than a verdict. It asks you to expand your emotional vocabulary past angry and fine and frustrated into the more specific territory of fear, shame, grief, and hurt. A practical place to start is this: after the next time you feel a sharp emotional reaction, before you do anything else, write down three possible emotions that could explain what you felt, not the one you performed, the ones underneath it. You will often surprise yourself. The SPI method for delivering corrective feedback is worth exploring here too, because naming the behavior rather than the emotion is a tool for both parties in a charged exchange. This much I know for certain: the people who communicate with the most strength are not the ones who never feel anger. They are the ones who have learned to read their anger accurately. They have done the work of looking past the surface reaction, finding the real feeling, and responding to that instead. Secondary emotions: anger is not a flaw you fix. It is a signal you learn to read. And the reading, practiced over time, changes everything. Frequently asked questions. What are secondary emotions behind anger? Secondary emotions behind anger are the deeper feelings that anger conceals, such as fear, shame, grief, or humiliation. Anger often appears first because it feels safer or more powerful. Self-awareness helps you look past the anger and identify the real emotional root. How do you recognize secondary emotions in yourself? You recognize secondary emotions in yourself by pausing when anger arises and asking what else you might be feeling. Common clues include a sense of threat, loss, or embarrassment underneath the heat. A regular practice of naming your emotions builds this capacity over time. Why do people feel anger instead of the real emotion? People feel anger instead of the real emotion because anger feels safer and stronger than vulnerability. Fear, shame, and grief expose a person to risk. Anger, by contrast, creates distance and signals strength. The brain reaches for it quickly, often before the deeper feeling is conscious. What is self-awareness in emotional intelligence? Self-awareness in emotional intelligence is the ability to notice and name your own internal states accurately, including the emotions you are actually feeling rather than the ones you are performing. It means catching yourself in the moment, not just reflecting after the damage is done. How does anger mask fear in the workplace? Anger masks fear in the workplace by converting a sense of threat into aggression. A person who fears being exposed, passed over, or judged will often attack before they appear vulnerable. Without self-awareness, neither they nor the people around them can see the fear underneath. Can you develop the ability to spot secondary emotions? You can develop this ability through consistent practice. The key tools are expanding your emotional vocabulary, building a habit of internal check-ins before reacting, and reviewing difficult moments after the fact. Like any skill, it improves with repetition and honest self-reflection. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.